could open an account on FedEx.com, save 10% on online express shipping.
Okay, how about this? We open an account on FedEx.com, we save 10% on online express shipping.
That is wonderful.
You just said the same thing I said, only you did this.
No, I did this.
Makes all the difference.
What's it like to be the boss of you?
Pretty great. How about a 10% raise?
How about 20?
How about done?
That's the kind of control I like. And that's what they give me at National Car Rental. I can choose any car in the aisle I want without having to ask anyone. Who better to be the boss of you than me? I mean, you. Us.
Your relationship with work, our relationship with work, really rises and falls, and you're going to see where this goes as we unpack this morning, on who is the boss. Who's the boss? That it makes all the difference in the world when it comes to satisfaction from work, how we feel about it, what we think about it. It all rises and falls on that. Study after study tells us that Americans are not satisfied at work. This graph you see from Barna that only 33% feel satisfied or fulfilled at work, which means 67% doesn't. And then even worse is if you think about a week and how it unfolds, that happiness by weekdays based on Twitter statements is the fact that Monday, tomorrow, those of you who have to go to work, is not a good day. If you can get tomorrow off, go Tuesday, it gets a little bit better. But then it's funny, Saturday is a really good day to think about work. So as we continue on with our series, Life Hacks, we've been making the difference between shortcuts being negative, but life hacks being positive, a way to interact with our life in such a way that it gets better. Because life hacks are when you just need a better way. And we're going to say that following Christ, walking with God, is that better way. And this morning, if you're a person, and I say this often, that's just kicking the tires, you may be suspect to that. Because of some of the Christians in your life, and you say, well, I see their life, and it's really not a better way. Well, don't let your decisions, don't let your review, your examination of the Christian life fall on that person that really is not following Christ well. And that makes us who are trying to follow Christ realize that, man, we need to follow Christ well because others' relationship with God is affected by that. So again, this idea of who's the boss affects how we interact with work. So we're going to go back to Ephesians 5. I'm going to read those few verses again and then do a quick recap and then get into what we weren't able to cover last time. So first of all, servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. That in of itself could be a verse, could be a concept, could be a statement to live out of this full week. The rest of the summer, servants, and you know in the original and you know in some of the other translations, we see slaves, and we talked about that last week, so I'm not going to go into that, but it's slaves respectfully obey your earthly master. So it's even heavily more weighted than that statement. Then we read, don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter what happens to you, happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free. Masters, it's the same with you. No abuse, please, and no threats. You and your servants are both under the same master in heaven. He makes no distinction between you and them. So as we began to unpack this last week, we did a little brief theology of work. You can go back and see that message, watch that message. The outline's in online with the blanks filled in. Saw that work is a blessing, it's not a curse. Usually we don't approach work that way. It's something to get done so the rest of life can begin. And sometimes we're thinking about, this whole idea of retirement being the answer to life. And as we saw last week, that really isn't the truth. And then we also see that every job stinks. And you can look back at last week and see why that is. And this was very important. It came up in our community group this week. Christ followers don't take jobs. They are on assignment. So when you think about your life and you think about the seasons of life, how much of paid work is involved, how much of retirement is there, semi-retirement, whatever you're doing, even outside of work, it's an assignment. And do you see God's fingerprints on where you're at and what's going on in your life? Even the hard things. Sometimes the hard things are the biggest assignment of life. Because you've got to kind of carry through them. They are hard. But if we really believe that our God is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us, and He's perfect, and He doesn't make mistakes, even beginning with creating you and me, then the assignments He gives us are not a mistake. Those assignments will bring something sweet into our lives, whether it's in this chapter of life or in the next chapter of life where we go to be with Him for eternity, when there's a new heavens and a new earth. So we started talking about when you're not the boss, and most of us are not the boss, or at least all of us have somebody over us. We have to realize that all of us have to submit to somebody else. And if you're in a position where you don't think there's a boss over you, that's a mistake. Sometimes I bump into people that are, quote unquote, self-employed. And they kind of enjoy the fact that no one tells them what to do. And not always. But often that no one tells me what to do is actually a rock in their shoe. It actually doesn't bring them great things into their life. That attitude that they're celebrating, I am my own person's captain, the ship of, the captain of my ship and all this kind of stuff. Usually when that attitude is really pronounced, it is not a positive thing. So there are all kinds of situations where we're not the boss, but there are those times where we are the boss, but then there is times where we're employed by somebody else. We saw, do what you are paid to do in every area, every time. To do it well, we'll see. And it doesn't really matter what they tell us to do, as long as it's not sinful, as long as it's not out of alignment with what God would have you do, then do it, even if it's watching paint dry. And a friend of mine this week said he was actually on a job site where he had to watch paint dry for a couple minutes, and he thought of this, wow, watching paint dry, here I am. I don't know if he put a smile on his face, but he was watching paint dry. Also along with this is you have a great attitude or fake a great attitude, and some of us might say, oh, that's so disingenuous. No, it isn't. Now, if you're not being honest with somebody, but you don't know when I have a splitting headache up here. Would you want me to get up on a Sunday morning and go, oh, my head's pounding, you don't know. I have a smile on my face and you don't know. I could have a headache right now. You could have given me a headache when you came in today. No, just kidding. You fake it. You smile through. It doesn't mean there isn't a place to be genuine. But those of you who've worked in customer service, you're on and you're on. So you have a great attitude or you make yourself have a great attitude. And a lot of times the emotions catch up with projecting a great attitude. if you're really projecting a great attitude, your feelings catch up. Doesn't mean we don't ask ourselves about that. Doesn't mean we don't think about that. But that is important. Again, just don't do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. Does God have a control, a bearing, a whatever in your life? Tomorrow, if you're at the workplace, or tomorrow, if you're retired, or wherever you are in between, tomorrow, if you're home with the kids and that's your job, you know, what are you doing? Are you doing it heartily towards God? Do you really believe that he has an underlying say into what's going on in your life? If you do, if you're a Christ follower, you ought to, then you need to have a great attitude. You say, I am where God wants me. You know, I talked about Ukraine, and they've gone, you know, to some of these places where there's oppression, and, you know, those occupied places, well, China and North Korea, and sometimes someone who's a Christ follower gets out of those places and no longer has the suffering of being in those extremely hostile places. And just for the record, the U.S. is not hostile like that to Christians. Someone making fun of you is not persecution where they come in and drag you out of your house. Just remember that. And that's not fun, but it's a little different. And it's interesting that when some of these folks have come out of these situations and someone like me would come alongside them and say, oh, I'm so sorry you went through this. I'm, you know, just almost apologizing. Mostly the response is, it was a privilege to suffer for Jesus. They actually didn't, like, go out and find it, but when it was brought into their life, they embraced it. And I'm reading through Acts right now, and you can see this idea of Christ followers, suffering, and they take it with a good attitude. Not that they're crazy and go, oh, it's great, I'm getting hurt, but they take it with a good attitude. So if you and I are thinking about who's the boss, we need to understand that Paul is telling these individuals to take it with a great attitude. Because often when we have an opportunity, and I love a good snow day. I don't really like the fact that now we can do video sermons. So technically, if it snows and we cancel church, I could still do a message from home. Don't expect that. I may just say, I got next week's message done. But with that said, you know, this idea of getting out of work, you can kind of think of this attitude.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Mr. Delaney's office. Oh, hello, Mr. Delaney. If you're not feeling well, I'm sorry. Yes, I can have that ready for you, and you'll be stopping in to pick it up? Oh, you'll stop in tomorrow. And what about the big presentation today at 2 o'clock? Absolutely, I'll have them conference you in from home. Okay. Feel better, Mr. Delaney.
Enough said. If you can find a better job, take it. Okay? So if you're in a place and you don't like your workplace, and again, last week we talked about worship, service, and work, all coming from the same root word. You can unpack that a little bit later. So they're not separate entities. They're all together. But if you can find a better job, take it. Go for it. Paul says to folks, he says, so every one of you should continue to live faithfully in the situation of life in which they were called to follow Jesus. Were you a slave? Slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. I don't mean you're stuck and can't leave. If you have a chance at freedom, go ahead and take it. But the idea here is, your situation's your situation. Now, if you're always living with, oh, I got to get out of this, if you find that that's a routine, that whatever situation it is, you grow cold to it very quickly or over a period of time and it's a rhythm of life, You ought to ask why that is. But if you can find a different job, if you can find a different situation, go ahead and go for it. But if you can't, accept it from God's hand. Accept it from God's hand. Going along with this thought is, if you can't find a better job, quit complaining. Quit complaining. Sometimes this works for me, sometimes this doesn't. You're going to say, sometimes I complain about my job. Yes. And I need to quit, but change, do something else, or just quit complaining. But normally I can find somebody who has a worse job than me. You too. So it's okay. Blows my mind. I'd love to do, if I was a research study kind of guy, I'd love to do a research study project paper on what did people think about their jobs 200 years ago? Did they even have it in their brain? Is this a satisfying job? Or did they just think, man, I get to put food on the table. I have a roof over my head. Life is good. Is that what, I don't know. I'd like to figure that out, because some of the questions we're asking today are like new questions for the last 100, 150 years. But if you can't find a job, quit complaining. Yes, it is God who is working in you. He helps you want to do what pleases him, and he gives you power to do it. Do everything without complaining or arguing. So go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. Sometimes you and I find ourselves into the stinkiest situations because we're to bring in a breath of fresh air. And it stinks being there. You can't stand it. But that's what you're called to do. You figure that out with your relationship with God. I can give you some guidelines. I can't, when it all boils down, I can't tell you what is right and wrong in that. It's between you and God. But figure that out. Maybe you're there to bring light. My cousin of my mother's, I believe it is, worked for Smithfield Ham down in Virginia. And they would process, I may be wrong, it was at least thousands, but it could have been tens of thousands of hogs a day. And he was a foreman. And he would have to take a shower at work, and then they had a shower outside of the house that he would take, and then he would take a shower inside the house. And he was a foreman, so he wasn't, quote-unquote, getting his hands dirty. He was just there. And I don't know if he did 30 years there, 40 years there. It was like almost like a prison sentence to him. And some of you may feel that about your job, but he brought light to that place. He brought light to that place. And so again, earlier we've already said, if you can get a better job, get a better situation, do it. Be free. Don't be a slave if you can. But if that isn't unfolding that way, if it's not unfolding that way, then be the light. Don't be a part of the, can I say it, the stink at your job. Don't be a part of it. Quit complaining. Listen to this. God working through you doesn't depend on your job, but how you do your job. How you do your assignment. Even the most boring, yucky, whatever it is, it's how you do it, how you approach it. And if you have some joy in your life because of your relationship with God, hopefully you do. If you know Jesus, we ought to have joy in our life. Then it should overflow in all of life, but especially in the place that we work and spend so much time. Not a dumb, silly, dopey kind of joy, but a real happiness and a solidness to life. So first of all, ask yourself, how am I doing my job? That's the first question. And then see if God uses you in some of the hardest most difficult places. Also, along with this, as we think about this, pursue excellence. Reject good enough mentality. That doesn't mean there's a time where you aren't gonna, this isn't to become a perfectionist. You kind of got to know yourself and go, do I lean to being a perfectionist or do I need to be, you know, good is good enough? And it can be different in different arenas in our life. But doing things well, not just what we can do to get by. We read that verse from Ephesians. Just don't get by when nobody's looking. I one time worked at a pharmaceutical company. I've shared this little story before, and it was my first job kind of being in the union area, and I'm not picking on unions, but this is just the way it was there. And I was in the shipping department, and I was bringing things to their place on the shelves so that when the orders for the different pharmacies we serviced were picked, there would be items there. So it could be a bar of soap, could be shampoo, everything you find in the pharmacy, in a drugstore, in the store part, you know, there would be a row with a number and a place, and you'd go put it there. And so I just got my two-wheeler, put my stuff on it, went my way, unloaded it, came back, and just was doing that. Not rushing, not anything, and all of a sudden my supervisor comes out to me and says, "What are you doing?" I'm like, I don't know, what am I doing? I'm just kind of, "You're going way too fast. You're going to have all this stuff out of shipping by Wednesday, and we need this job. Friday's okay not to have anything to do, but Thursday we've still got to be working." "Are you running?" he said. I'm just doing that. Not good, just good enough. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. And work, again, is that idea of worship, service, work. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Everyone around you may not know. Your spouse may not know. You're just getting by. Not good. It's just the Lord knows. And we're held responsible for that. Proverbs, got two versions of this. This is the easy read. Someone who does careless work is as bad as someone who destroys things. Interesting. Think about that. Are you destroying the momentum of your workplace? Are you destroying the momentum of the place you service, you serve? Are you destroying the place you worship? Careless work, careless worship, careless service is as bad as somebody who goes out and does vandalism kinds of things, which is what the next translation says. Slack habits and slobby work are as bad as vandalism. So, back to that slide. Reject good enough. I can remember in times where I've been trying to outfit a youth room, and hopefully I'm not stepping on too many toes about this, a youth room at church or something. We decide we want a youth room, a hang room, and we want it to be like a living room. And I say, I need sofas and chairs. And all of a sudden, I get all this furniture. I mean, I get hundreds of sofas. Well, not hundreds, but lots of sofas with not one suitable for anybody's home. Yeah, we had this one sitting out in our garage for years, and finally now we have a home for it. I ended up having to throw all the stuff away. And in some cases, had to pay to throw it away. Oh, my. Good enough. Bring your best game to work, worship, and service. Some of us think we're justified when it comes to our service to kind of slack off. I don't get paid enough. They owe me. I had an employee one time that worked the nights, and no one was at the building, at the church for the nights. And with some investigation, I found out he was really only working, you know, 5 or 6 hours a night, not his full hours, because he thought he wasn't paid enough. thought his job was, you know, a stinky job, and so why should he have to do it? And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Again, you could quit your job, go find another job, but you're like, that's like stealing. That's not right. If you want to be paid more, be worth more now. Some of you have been in situations where that's backfired a little bit. You say, then I just keep doing more, to keep putting more on. Keep praying and asking God to bring you a new job. But I've also seen it where someone brings to, especially a non-Christian environment, brings their A game, works well, and is appreciated, even though they're kind of getting dumped on a little bit more, but they all see Jesus in that person's work. So you could say, wow, I'm not getting paid what I should be getting paid to do this job. I should be at a different level. But the people around me know, because they say, you should get more pay. You should, and you say, well, you know, maybe that's true, but I'm trying to be all in because my faith tells me to be all in. And they go, wow. So anyway, but this idea of be worth more now, this idea of that you might be interviewing for your next job and you don't even know it. You might be interviewing for your next job occupation-wise. You may be interviewing for your next calling, and God is trying to see, is he faithful, is she faithful in the little things so I can bring him or her to the bigger thing. And until they do this little thing with some excellence and some all in, they're going to just sit there for a while. I know they have, God knows inside. I know they could be more, but they're just not stepping up. So be worth more now. Again, remember you are on assignment. Look at a lot of concepts in Scripture, a lot of verses that give this idea. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. This idea of assignment, ambassadors, you're either a good one or a bad one or a mediocre one, but you're on assignment. So when you are not the boss, which applies to all of us at some level and applies to a lot of us at a majority level, when you're not the boss, there's a life hack. There's a change. There's not a shortcut. There's a life hack of remembering who we are and, again, that we are on assignment. So what do you do when you are the boss? You're actually the boss. You have responsibility to lead a group. You have responsibility to lead for a staff. You have responsibility to lead in a ministry. You're serving. You're running point for something. What do you do when you're the boss? And what kind of response does your leadership, your influence have or create from the people you are, we've talked about it, servant leading, but you are leading. Hopefully not like this.
Hey, who shipped the 200 boxes to our client in Boston? Was it you, Lewis?
I shipped them with FedEx.
You're a heck of a man doing a heck of a job, Lewis.
Trust the company with proven reliability. Relax.
When people see you coming as the boss, do they run? Not because they're not working, but do they run because you're unreasonable? I can say it now because the person passed away probably 10 or 15 years ago. My first job out of college was at a resort campground. And I guess I'll change his name. What name do I want to use? Bill. No, George. No, I don't know. George. Let's say George. And his son actually worked at this campground, too. He was the owner. When it would be filled, it had 1,200 people in it. It was just all kinds of things going on. And all us managers had radios, so we felt really important, you know. And We had all these radios, okay, you know, and they could buzz us and all this kind of stuff. And I was in programming. And so when he would leave, the boss, I almost said his name, Bill, George, I mean, when he would leave, the son, whose name was Bill, I'll say that, would say, George is gone, everyone can relax. Over all the radios in the whole campground, there would come this thing. And when he would get back on campus, he would say, George alert, stress levels should be going up, and click, and he'd be, because it was true. That was that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't be that person. Masters, it's the same with you. May I put aside? Don't be that father and don't be that mother. Ooh, that's a little too close. All right, masters, it's the same with you. No abuse, please, and no threats. You and your servants are both under the same master in heaven. He makes no distinction between you and them. Woo, I'm the boss. That's a low-life employee. God's looking down, and you're exactly the same. They're doing their job. You're not doing your job because you're not creating a solid, healthy environment for them to work. So shame on you, shame on me if I do that. You're the boss. Create a work environment that is both just and fair. Just and fair. Be fair. Make sure your requirements, your actions are just right. You're not expecting too much. You're not expecting not enough. Don't expect them to be able to read your mind. Have you ever had a boss that just thinks you should read their mind? And they kind of give you some instructions, and then when you do it, it's like you thought you were talking about something completely different. Be the boss that communicates well. That's being just and fair. If the people answering to you do not understand what you want, what you need, even though you're paying them, that's not right. As a Christ follower, Jesus communicated to the disciples. He was the best communicator. We won't be as good as Jesus. We'll mess up every once in a while, but when we do, own it. But create an environment that's just and fair. Now, fair doesn't mean equal. There are different situations where somebody else, it appears, is getting more benefits than the other person in some kind of way. But when they complain about it or when they think it's not fair, make sure on paper it is fair. They may never get it, but make sure it is fair. I've had the horrible job of letting people go. Letting people go at a time that were older than me. One time I had to let someone go. I was a baby. I was like 36, and they were in their 50s. They were my age. And I wanted him to like me. Oh, I wanted to do everything possible. And I thought that we would have this meeting. I had another person with us. And I thought that he would, at the end, go, thanks, Dave. I get it. And maybe not smile, but, you know, we gave him 6 months severance pay. What we did is we said, you have 6 months. And what we said is you can use this 6 months to get ready for your next job. So, you know, we don't expect you to work full time. You know, you work, get your job done, but, you know, you can take an afternoon off and go in an interview. Well, he like checked out totally for the 6 months. We should have given him 6 months severance pay and said, you're done. But I expected him to be like happy, like, oh, thank you. I was just out to lunch to think that was the case. And I'm a people pleaser, so I wanted it. And that just wasn't the case. So you do as a leader, as you do as a boss, have to understand that people aren't going to get it. But we were definitely fair and just with him. And in a sense, we weren't equal with him because we gave him a better 6 month deal than we would have given somebody else. So we did all this, but I expected some nice kumbaya, you know, singing like, I know, but that wasn't gonna happen. But make sure when that doesn't happen, you go, oh, yeah, he's just being a jerk because he's getting fired. No, if you're creating some of that, you need to own that. Love and truth from a good leader, sound leadership is found on loving integrity. Integrity is soundness. If you had a big boat, you're in the water, and you're the hull of the boat is keeping the water out, it's sound, it has integrity. So we want that in our life. You hear me say this all, claimed values versus lived values, and I have to just hunker down on that for my own personal life because I'm shooting out claimed values left and right. You know, this is what Jesus says. This is what, you know, and then I got to say, man, I got to at least be doing some of the stuff I'm talking about. You know, I can't just be telling people this is how you live and I don't do it. I need to at least be on that road. So claimed values, lived values, integrity. Here's a rocket science thing. Treat your subordinates as you want God to treat you. Remember when we did this, the message on forgiveness and that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and there's this idea that says we ask God to forgive, we forgive others as we ask God to forgive us. And then we say, God, forgive me the way I forgive those in my life. And when that rolls off your tongue, you're like, ooh, because I don't forgive this person. If I pray that prayer, then God's not going to forgive me because of this, because I'm holding on to it. No. I need to forgive as God forgives me. And when I ask him to forgive me, I say, forgive me the way I forgave Bill over here when he was not a nice boss. So treat your subordinates as you want God to treat you. And masters, treat your servants considerately. Be fair with them. Don't forget for a minute that you too serve a master, a God in heaven. Don't forget that. If you judge others, you will be judged by the same way you judge them. God will treat you the same way you treat others. Fortunately, there's some grace in there, and you don't know where that line is, do you? You don't know. I don't know. Oh, I'm going to be this jerky to this person, but I know God's grace. I just won't go so hyper jerky that I'll get, you know, slammed in my life. What are you doing? What am I doing even thinking that? The fact that I could even articulate that, you know, you're going, what's going on in Dave's mind, man? But I think you may have done that too. God will treat you the same way you treat others. So, who's the boss of you? If you're a Christ follower, Jesus is the boss of you. If you're not a Christ follower, you haven't made that decision yet. So it's great following Christ. It's great inviting him into your life. It's great saying yes to him, acknowledging you need forgiveness of sins, that he died on the cross and rose again. You're choosing to follow him. But when you do that, you're saying, you're my boss. You're not saying, I like you as Savior, but you're not my Lord. And again, we don't get it perfectly right, but you're saying, I'm going to try to be on the path of following Christ. I'm going to try to be on the path of righteousness. A verse in your notes has some blanks in it. And that's so you don't all shut your notes after I say the bottom line. I'm learning. This verse is usually deals with money, but I think it can be applied to a broader sense than just money. You cannot serve two bosses. I'm going to say, can't serve God and yourself. Can't serve God and your boss at work. You need to figure that out because you're ultimately serving God. At the same time, you will hate one and love the other. Or you'll be loyal to one and not care about the other. You cannot serve God, and I added in this application, anyone or anything at the same time. You can't. Now, do you get it perfectly right? Absolutely not. But you need to aim at that target. Serving God, and then it all starts to shake out. I was going to say, how can you be a better boss? How you can be a better person that's not a boss? It begins with a growing relationship with Christ, a daily growing relationship with Christ. In the scriptures, the Bible, regularly, daily. I almost don't want to say daily because some of you go, well, I can't do daily, so then you just shut your mind off. That's what it really should be, daily. Sorry, folks, it should be daily. If you hit it five times, four times, you're doing good, but it should be daily. That's just good enough, maybe. But this idea of growing in your relationship with him. And then out of that comes how to interact. Because we've also said that when you've said yes to Christ, the Holy Spirit, God himself, indwells your life. He indwells your conscience. He speaks to your soul. He helps sort out when you're feeling guilty, but you don't need to feel guilty, but when you feel conviction, which you do need to feel, and helps you sort all that out and the application of that. It's not getting somebody else to do that. God himself will help you with that. So you want to be close so you can really hear his silent, still voice. So who is the boss of you? Have you said yes to Christ? Are you saying yes to Christ daily, hourly? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are the perfect Heavenly Father. Help us not to get confused by maybe some fatherly people in our lives that haven't done it well, and then we attribute their not doing it well to you. Help us to see that you are the perfect father, the perfect role model. For those of us who are dads, help us to be saying yes to you in the daily way, the way we father or grandfather, or influence someone who's not our child, not our son, not our daughter. Help us to be good influencers. Help us to, who are mothers, be good mothers. Help us to be good spiritual mothers. So, Father, we need to say yes to you regularly. But for the person that's never come to terms with that, never laid it on the table, well, I just asked today would be the day. So we thank you. We thank you that we can have fun together. We thank you that we can do life together and in this community. And we do ask that we would continue to make a difference as we love and live like Jesus. We ask all of this in your wonderful name.